So getting back to, you know, the set where I'd been my Dobian, had I have not gone to do the Dobian, I would have been where Bill Morey was killed when one of the torpedoes hit. So it's fate, really.
It is, isn't it? How far away was the Dobian, the washing place, from there?
Well, quite a way, you know, because it was a fairly big ship, yeah. Difficult to remember now how, you know, you can't...
And what about, so you were in the shower, so as you say, but you knew immediately something really bad had happened.
Something had happened, yeah.
So there's no question of you getting a towel or your clothes or just going...
No.
Is that just sort of human reaction or naval training?
What, getting a towel or...?
Yeah, just going.
I think you just had to go, you know. I mean, it was pitch black, so the fact of hunting around to find things would have used valuable time.
And was it, I mean, were you cold?
No, well, it was in the Mediterranean, so it was... No.
If it had been in the Atlantic, it could have been a different story.
It would have been, yeah.
And not cold when you were on the ship, just rushing around either. When you were on your way up to the deck, I mean, you didn't think about that.
What, up to the, to get to the to safety? No, I mean, I suppose, looking back, all you wanted to do was survive.
What about a life jacket?
Well, we had the blow-up life belts, yeah. You grab that, but of course, I mean, you couldn't have time to blow it up and things like that, so I just carried it, that's all, and just leapt over the side.
Were you wearing it when you were in the water?
Yeah, but it wasn't blown up. I didn't manage to get it blown up, see. So I just floated around.
So why couldn't you blow it up? Because you couldn't find the blower? Or?
Well, no, it's because I don't know whether it's, I couldn't be bothered. I think I was so spitting out oil and water and that. And I was, fortunately, I was able to clamber on this sort of, or hang on to this sort of floater net that was rolling around, which was undone. So I just hung on to that. So I was able to do without the necessity to have anything else.
Yeah, I understand, because you had to be, you know, the shock and everything else. I mean, it was lucky you had something to hang on to.
Oh, yeah,
to,
yeah.
Kept you afloat.
Well, rather that's than what you did. You pushed it around and other people hung on to it as well.
So did you see the ship go down?
Yes, I was quite a while from... Well, not quite a while, but you saw people still on there. We were obviously afraid to jump in, and they just went down with the ship. Mm.
It is extraordinary. What's the latest you can jump? I mean, do you have to jump? You have to jump as soon as you can.
Well, yeah. I mean, you up here there are people who probably couldn't swim, or perhaps weren't strong swimmers. And just were terrified to jump into the water. And that's it. That's all you can say. And then, of course, they hang on and hang on, hoping. You don't know. You don't know what's up there. But hoping that perhaps it won't sink. But, of course, it was. It was, you know, it was impossible for it to survive anyway.
And there must have been an enormous sort of swell and current pulling people under when it did sink.
Well, it would do, yeah. So the farther away you were, the better. Yeah. I was quite a good distance away when it happened.
And so the water was just covered in oil and muck and
oil and everything. Oil and debris and things like that.
It is extraordinary. And did you feel? I mean, you think that you might have been floating for quite a few hours before you were picked up.
Yeah, I think looking back, it's difficult to recall what you were actually thinking. I think the fact that you were still alive was paramount, and you just hoped eventually you would be picked up. And of course, there were three or four of us on the floating net, so we were all chayaking and that.
Were you chatting to each other to keep each other going?
So you were all, that's all. I think the thing was, you were only too glad that you were still alive, and hoping that eventually you would be picked up. But as I said before, you didn't get in a panic or get too apprehensive about things. I think you were philosophical about it and assumed, oh, eventually you were picked up. Didn't think you were going to be stuck there for the whole of the war,
I suppose that many of us wonder what we'd do in a situation like this, but we haven't been tested at all, but you have.
Yeah, well, of course, the thing is, as I said to you before, if before that happened, someone had said in half an hour's time, you will be down below, you will have 6 minutes to get up. You thought, God, Bennett. But so, the thing is, if you don't know, then you adapt. But if you did know what you were going to do, there would be all sorts of things that you would want to do which were unnecessary. So the whole thing was, it's a question of survival. And I can't think how, some people say, oh, if you knew that in 3 or 4... But if you knew in 3 or 4 minutes what was going to happen to you, you wouldn't be able to cope, would you?
No.
I mean, if say here like this, if you knew in your house that you were in bed, fine, and someone said you're being fed, in 3 or 4 minutes, the gas thing will blow up. You've got to. You think, well, it's impossible, but if it happens then, and you don't know, then there are certain things you do that you wouldn't do otherwise. And fate comes into it, you're either going to survive or you're not.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, it's very interesting putting it like that. So after you were picked up what was it called? The Jaunty.
It was a fleet tug.
The Jaunty. So that was a tiny little tug, but obviously absolutely full then of people.
Yes, and that was when there were so many on there. I can remember one destroyer that passed it and said all it could see was this little tug, absolutely covered in bodies. And then of course they transferred us all to other ships in the convoy.
And were you then sort of taken down to a sick bay and looked after?
No. Nothing like that. I mean, you just... I had nothing on, and I had a couple of stokers on board. Malcolm gave me a old set of overalls, which I put on. I had nothing on my feet. And there were some old dishcloths or something that I managed to make something to wrap around my feet. Because the decks were steel decks, so they were quite hot, quite warm. And we slept on those at night. I mean, there was no space down below, not because the ship's company was down
there. So there's no great... Were you given something to eat?
Oh, yeah, you were given food, yeah. Yeah, you weren't starved, but it was just basic rations, that was all. Mm.
And this was because it was wartime, so this was the way it was.
Well, that's right, yeah. And I can't remember exactly what we had, but probably hardtack biscuits and things like that. But I think at the time, you know, we were only too happy that we were still alive, we were there.
And your friend who didn't make it, when did you find that out? When did you realise?
Well, it was when the when we got to Gibraltar, of course, all the casualties, and then until everybody was accounted for and marked off, then it was assumed that they had perished. And so, you know, coming. And as the survivors came in, you always said, oh, and nobody'd seen him or anything. So, and the other thing was that my cousin, who I'd never... we were brought up as boys together before the war. He was about a year, 18 months younger than me. He joined the Navy and he was on the Manchester. And the Manchester was also sunk. And I remember one night I'd been working late in the captain's, it must have been about 1 or 2 in the morning. And whenever some Manchester survivors came on board, I said, ask them, did anybody, no bogey night, you know, so nights are always called bogeys, I don't know why. And so and somebody said, no, I said, but a lot of them actually were interned in North Africa, you know, they've gone. And so this particular night I was working late and I got to the deck where the police office was, and coming down the thing, the pipe came over, standby for some Manchester survivors. And I looked up and I saw Tom coming down the ladder. And I shouted out, Tom, and we were dancing around the deck there. Everybody thought we were bombing. That's the only time I ever met him during the war.
Mm. What an amazing story. Mm. And how was that torpedoed as well?
Yeah, that was, I can't remember now what the Manchester was, but she was, and I think she was also, she's either torpedoed or some of the E-boats had sunk her. Mm.
And I suppose, so you being, had this job as, you know, quite high up in the administration of the ship.
Yeah.
You know, this was, you must have known when you were picked up, or when you recovered enough to think,
yeah,
that this is what you were going to have to do. You were going to have to be the, yeah, one that was going to do the lists. Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
And that must, was that quite difficult?
Well, looking back, I yeah, I suppose, you know, you, looking back now, it was just another job. It was happening to people all over the Army, Navy, Air Force, which it was happening all the time. People were come back missing. There,
you got, you beginning to get used to it. Yeah.
I think you did in a way. I think you had to get used to it to carry on.
I mean, it just seems so extraordinary now, when, you know, in this country we lived in relative peace for all these years, and you think, you know, you and your mate, you know, you've lived all this long, long time since then, such a long time, it's just because you were the one that went a different way, you know.
Yeah, that's right. But
it's amazing.
I'm a great believer that you're meant to go down certain channels. There are often times when I think things that have happened to me, and I thought, God, it's the end of the world, you know, I can't do this. Just before the war, when I was hoping to go into the civil service, I didn't thought, and I thought, now, had I have gone down that path, what would have happened? Had I have not waited, had I have not joined the Navy, and I said to my father, during the war, because a lot of my school chums had waited until they were called up. And I used to go home on leave, and I was just a sailor. And I would meet some of my school friends who were captains and lieutenants in the army and the RAF. And I said to my dad, "Oh, Dad, I don't know, I wish I'd have waited till I was called up." I said, "And then I was." So he said, "And you might have been dead." So you don't know, do you?
No, you don't. You honestly don't.